It's time now for the Todd Leonard Show. Leave those negative stories behind as we focus on the positive and hear from those who give back and help others. Let's start your day with some inspirational stories. Now, here's your host, Todd Leonard.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you so much for tuning in again today. We have an incredible show. Shannon Steets, right here in Mendham, New Jersey, is going to be joining us. Before we talk to Shannon and everything she's doing to lift up the community, I wanted to dedicate this show again to the incredible first responders, the healthcare workers, the essential workers. Without them, really, our whole society would be collapsing. I was going over the statistics, and it's really sad what's going on in our state. Over 2,183 people have perished. We've got over 58,000 positive cases, and in our great state, it's a sad time, and through our country, over 20,000 have lost their lives. So, you know, I just want to pray for all the families and victims. It's been a really challenging time, but I know together we're going to get through this. Also know it's Easter Sunday, so we should also celebrate and really do our best to lift each other up. So, let's not really forget it for any moment, really, what we're all going through, but hopefully today's show will add a little lightness in dark times. Shannon, good morning. How are you doing today?
Good morning. Good, Todd. How are you?
I'm doing well. I mean, obviously, I touched on it. We're all going through a difficult time, but we're all doing our best. We're a strong, resilient people, and we're going to keep on trucking along and just, doing our best to live our lives to the best of our abilities during these challenging times. And how are you and the family holding up, Shannon?
Good. We're fortunate in that we haven't had any illness in our immediate family, but I'm sure like everyone else, you hear stories of friends and relatives, and it's really something incredible, something we're just not used to seeing in our lifetimes. And I believe I'm looking at the same dashboard you were referring to earlier with those statistics. And just a couple days ago, I conducted a radio interview for another network, and I had taken notes, and I wrote down 51,000 cases. Now, this was just a couple days ago, and today I'm looking at 58,000 cases across New Jersey. So,
yeah, the numbers are striking. I saw a number of charts recently where New York is getting clobbered. New Jersey, similarly, we're like really at ground zero for all of us right now compared to other countries. I mean, sadly, we're right up near the top. And I certainly pray we get through this. I understand they're trying to flatten out the curve, and I hope everybody's following the social distancing. I think it's clearly working. We have to, let our first responders and the healthcare workers get as much support as possible. But yeah, the numbers are striking, and really, if you think about it, these numbers are people, and we can never lose sight of that. I mean, this is our own 9/11 pretty much almost every day. Even in our great county, there's been 135 deaths and over 2,771 cases as of yesterday. So it's really all around us, and I pray we get through this. But everybody I'm bringing on the show recently, I mean, how do you not talk about it since it really impacts all of our lives? And we're going to certainly talk about everything you're doing to try to lift up the community as well. But it's certainly, something we're living with it. And it feels like the twilight zone. I know we're going to get through it, but it is beyond surreal at this time. I mean, driving around, looking around, everybody's putting on the masks, which I think, sadly, but it has to be done right now. We have to, follow what the healthcare providers are saying to protect everyone. So, Shannon, before I talk about your great works, I wanted, for the listeners to know a little bit about yourself, and I don't want to pry too much, but tell us a little bit about your background.
So, I'm a marketer. I own a marketing firm based out of Bernardsville by the name of Big Fish 360, and we specialize primarily in automotive marketing, so I work with a lot of dealerships throughout the state of New Jersey, in addition to luxury lifestyle and healthcare. So I've been fortunate in that, when it comes to a time like this, and there's a need to step up, my clients are local businesses and tend to be generous and step up along with me and support the cause and all that great stuff.
Yeah, well, I mean, these are wonderful things that you're doing and so many other people in the community, and that's why shows like this make me feel so good that hopefully it's a good outlet just to bring people on that are giving back. I wanted to explore, though, Shannon, if you'll permit, a little bit more about your background, in fact, you know, where you grew up and kind of your evolution. I know you started your own marketing outfit a number of years ago, but tell us a little bit more about your family life before you kind of where you are today.
Sure. So I grew up in Morris County, New Jersey, lived in Essex for a little while, and moved back to Morris a couple years ago. So born and raised in New Jersey, and grew up in a family-owned and operated business. So I was always around business and business talk, if you will, and started my first business back in 2012.
Okay. And do you have an accounting background as well, Shannon?
I do. So my background career-wise is diverse. I started out as an accountant, held public and private positions, implemented Sarbanes-Oxley back in the day when that first hit. I was one of the first. And then eventually I had been recruited as CFO for a media company, and to be completely candid, the CEO, when interviewing me, he said, well, we publish magazines. What magazines do you read? And I said, well, I really don't read magazines. I read trade journals or books. And essentially, he said, you're hired. So from that point on, I learned the media business and marketing, and in doing so, I just felt there was a void in the industry, and I try to always, from a business perspective, regardless of what I'm doing, I try to find that void and fill it, because I think that gives you a little bit of leverage over your competition, regardless of what industry you're in.
Right, it's always good. I don't want you to feel like you needed an attorney to be sitting next to you when I ask you these questions. But it's just, I think it's important for everyone to know a little bit more about your background and how that kind of shapes and structs and forms your life. Because we all have a background, and it's always good to understand a little bit more where you're coming from. You mentioned
sure.
you launched your own company, how many years ago? You said about 2012?
Yes.
And what's that called?
Big Fish 360.
Yeah, how'd you come up with the name Big Fish 360? I was curious.
Well, in thinking about what I wanted the agency to represent, I thought of it from the perspective of my clients, and for some reason, in terms of the visual, I was thinking, you know, water, whether it's a lake, the ocean, what have you. But I thought my clients, the goal would always be to make them the biggest fish in that pond or the biggest fish in that lake. So that's kind of how I came up with it. And I, of course, wanted something that's memorable. So.
No, I love the name. No, it definitely stands out. In terms of starting your own company, because, you know, I bring various guests on, and I'm always interested in kind of learning their trajectory in life. And some people are in a job, and they really don't enjoy it. They just have a paycheck. They don't really find it fulfilling. And there's a lot of people like that, sadly. And then others, you know, are like, listen, I got to do my own thing. I want to embark on it. It's scary. I don't know which way it's going to be up, but it's something deep, you know, deep down. A passion. Is that kind of how you kind of went out on your own in 2012?
Yes, I had the opportunity, and certainly couldn't turn a blind eye as a natural entrepreneur. So I definitely, you know, I'm one who will take risk, and that's part of the DNA of an entrepreneur. Realizing that not everyone is willing to take that risk, which I totally understand, because a lot of times there's good reason not to. I would say, you know, you have to weigh the pros and cons and evaluate that risk. And if it makes sense, definitely go for it.
Right. So how was it, though, in terms of the early days, because we're talking like 8 years ago to now? Is it something you thought it was going to be like over the last 8 years, running your own business?
Oh, absolutely. It's been better. I mean, listen, everyone encounters their challenges. I mean, we did a lot of print media, which has since fallen by the wayside back in the day. So, you know, we've been fortunate where we were able to evolve with the times, if you will. And I think that's, you know, a good lesson for anyone who is willing to take that risk and go out on their own and start a business. You have to really remain agile and be willing to evolve with the market and the consumer's needs.
Oh, yeah, there's no question. I know in my own law firm, we've evolved over the years. I mean, way back in the day, it was lawyers didn't really advertise, and then lawyers were permitted to, and people were in the phone book, and then people started to do the newspapers. And now our law firm has a very robust Internet presence because we know the consumers, the potential clients, that's how they're consuming their media now, and you have to kind of evolve with the times. So I think it's critically important. But I give you a lot of credit, you know, Shannon, to go out on your own and to start your own business, to follow your own dreams. And maybe some of the listeners, even though we're all faced with this COVID-19, are also kind of sitting at home with their families and thinking about maybe branching out and doing things to inspire them and make their lives better. But I realize also, as you said, you got to weigh your options, and that's certainly critical in life. You have to do what's best, and you also got to pay the bills. But I've been blessed to meet so many people in my own journey, and the folks that I know that have gone out on their own, if they didn't succeed, they find something else, and they end up finding a new path. So I think it's important to feel fulfilled. So, Shannon, I wanted to start now to discuss with you your charitable and kind of your volunteer activities, because the whole premise of my show is to talk about people who come on, who give back so freely from the heart, and lift up the community. And really, Lord knows we need it right now. I know it's Easter Sunday, and people are getting ready to hopefully go and have some normalcy, not out in public so much, but with their own families, be it in the backyard or just hanging out or doing Zoom meetings or whatever. But let's talk about your genesis and your evolution. When did you start to first feel the charitable endeavors in your heart? Do you remember?
Sure. It was around the same time I really started my own business because, again, serving clients, a lot of my clients wanted to host events to procure new additional clients and to meet new people. So I would host those events, and I've become quite known for the events that I've produced. And these events have run the gamut. I mean, they've ranged from coast to coast, small boutique events, all the way up to, I brought the first Concours d'Elegance to Trump National Bedminster with over 300 private, exotic, and rare vintage vehicles registered. So those type of large-scale events. And a lot of clients would, some of them would have charitable causes that they supported as a brand, but then others wouldn't. And for an event, you always wanted to have people come, feel good, and a lot of the clients were in the luxury lifestyle market, so you were celebrating luxury, you were celebrating affluence, and I felt it was really important at the same time to take that and support those in need, since those who are celebrating affluence are really fortunate and blessed, and not everyone is. So 99% of those events were tagged to a charitable cause, and we would support everyone from St. Jude to the Ronald McDonald House, No Kid Hungry, Susan G. Komen, all the way down to smaller local causes as needed.
So what is that like, Shannon? So you kind of gave us a pretty good feel of it. It's a very broad and diverse base of clientele you so ably served over this last 8 years plus and going strong. You touched on some things, so you're really talking about a very affluent kind of client base with some rather extravagant events. But you also talked about the humanity of these people, these folks who are so blessed financially to give back. What was that like when you started to kind of throw your hat in that arena and you're really rubbing elbows with some extremely wealthy folks?
I mean, it's fun. It's always fun and interesting when you meet people, and especially good people. I think that's what it's really about when you're meeting people that you have something in common with, or you could do business with, or they share the same charitable interests. That's when you really come out of it, having a lot of fun and appreciation.
Right. So you mentioned some rather interesting events. I like to watch Chasing Classic Cars with Wayne Carini, and I know they have some wonderful events, too. And I was just thinking about some of the incredible cars. I mean, these are like cars that, you know, are like on somebody's bucket list. But what is that like to be involved in such a big event on the West Coast with all these extraordinary cars and the people, surrounding that event?
Yeah, well, ours was here on the East Coast in Bedminster, Trump National Bedminster, but we've certainly done events on the West Coast as well. And it's phenomenal. It's great. I always said I would love to be a guest at one of my own events because, as you can imagine, it's very stressful producing an event of that scale. Typically, you don't sleep the night or two leading up to the event just by, way of nerves and all that good stuff. But once the event is happening and unfolding, it's really a lot of fun to see. And, of course, when you look at it afterwards and you can relax, it's even more fun.
Sure, absolutely. So let's delve into a little bit more about the charitable causes. You touched on some of those through these, extraordinary events. And you said about good people. And, one of the amazing things about the show, I've been doing it about 5+ months now, is I come in contact with really good people like you, really great people like yourself and others. But I think maybe there's a misconception about folks. And I never judge a book by their cover. I mean, I know people that look like they don't have two nickels to rub together, and they're the most generous, beautiful people in the world. And then there's other people that put on all kinds of airs, and it turns out they're really hollow inside. But there's also incredibly wealthy people that are incredibly giving. What's that experience like when you see folks that are really well-known, very successful, but then they're also so really generous in their giving? What, can you give us some example, without really naming names so much, but just what that's like?
Well, it's interesting that you bring this up because just the other day I was having a conversation with someone, and as many times as I've done this personally, it never ceases to amaze me the people who surprise you and step up, and then those you would think who would step up and don't. So, in this particular, the most recent cause that we're raising funds for, which is COVID and producing or providing rather hot meals for the healthcare workers on our front line, we put out a GoFundMe, and knowing that this is a short-term need, hopefully anyway, we just kept it really to our social media, personal social media channels and our clients and what have you. And I say our, I brought in a couple partners who I work with to assist with this. But at any rate, it's funny when you look at the GoFundMe account or you look, at your email, and even the clients, some of which you work so hard for throughout the year, they're not the ones who necessarily step up, and then others who you would never think are the ones to step up, and the same with individuals. Individuals that you're closest with may not be your donors, and then you'll see names on the GoFundMe that you don't even know. So it's really interesting, and I just remind myself, listen, I mean, you never know someone's means or what they're going through personally, to your point earlier. So, you know, I never judge anyone for not giving or giving, you know, the amount they give or what have you. But it is interesting
when you experience
something like this.
I can only imagine, I mean, the kinds of folks you come in contact with, like myself, and once again, it really goes back to the, like how I was raised with my late parents. I mean, we just learned at an early age, you just don't judge people by how they look or how much money they have in their bank account, because that's really a poor way to judge people. It's the quality of their character and really their actions, not really their words, because a lot of people put on a show and you end up finding out that they're really not for real. We're really going to get into in really detail Feed the Front Line, but I wanted you right now, if you can, if people are listening and they want to get in contact with you and they want to be involved in Feed the Front Line, what's the best way for them to reach out?
The easiest way is to either go to my Facebook, which is Shannon Steitz, S-T-E-I-T-Z, or on the GoFundMe page. There are many Feed the Frontline initiatives, but ours is Feed the Frontline NJ with a green heart for the state of New Jersey.
Right. Well, you mentioned New Jersey. I'm also proud to say I'm born and raised in the greatest state. And that's why, you know, how important it is to get the communities involved to work together. And that's one of the, I think, the silver linings throughout this really challenging time with COVID-19, this incredible pandemic, is how everybody is trying to pull together. And, you know, you turn on the news and you go on social media and you get the firsthand accounts of the incredibly devoted healthcare workers, the nurses, the doctors, the staff, and they're putting their lives on the line for us. I mean, it's not just them. When they come home to their families, their families are worried and they're nervous. So it's incredible that, you know, everybody's kind of reaching out. So let's, if you'll permit, Shannon, let's talk about this Feed the Front Line New Jersey. How did that originate in your mind and with the folks you brought on? What was the brainchild of it?
Well, I started it on March 21st, and it was actually March 21st is my birthday. So I woke up that morning, and at that point, you didn't have the news coverage of people going to hospitals, serving meals. You didn't have any Feed the Frontline initiatives. None of that was born yet, because the shutdown had just recently occurred days prior, and it was starting to escalate where it was getting more and more severe in terms of shutdown and the limitations that were placed on us. So I was thinking about my friend who owns a catering company, and of course the healthcare workers being entrenched in the news, and I just found myself almost getting depressed and saying, there has to be something I can do. So I'm not a healthcare worker. I'm not a nurse or a physician. I can't go to a hospital and help people. I don't have that education or experience. So I said, the only thing I could think of is taking care of them in terms of hot meals. And as I thought about it, I didn't even know if it made sense. And I was going back and forth for a little while. I said, you know what? It's kind of silly. They probably have access to food within the hospital and all that stuff. And I said, you know what? I'm just doing it. I don't care. I'm just doing it. Because it just felt right to me for some reason. So I phoned my friend who owns Encore Catering, which is the premier catering company in northern New Jersey. They're also in Morris County. And she had just, it's a big catering company, and they do all great work for all the big corporations throughout New Jersey, all the pharma guys, what have you. And she laid hundreds of people off out of necessity. And I said, you know what, why don't we fire up your kitchen and get meals out to these healthcare workers? And Lisa Epstein, the owner of Encore, and her sister Karen were immediately on board, and we just started to do it. So we brought a couple truckloads over to Morristown, just by raising funds through GoFundMe. And that resulted in about 500 meals. And then I started tapping into clients, and a colleague of mine who is a consultant, a high-level consultant and expert in the auto industry, Sandy Cerami, he came on board. He's a Bergen County resident, and he's working the auto industry for me, with me. So we're tapping into our clients and bringing in dealerships who have generously sponsored, like BMW Ramsey and All-American Ford, Gulf Motor Corps. I mean, we have individuals sponsoring, even at a corporate level. You know, two individuals by the name of Jim Ott and Anthony Antonello, they're both in the auto industry. And they stepped up with a large donation, which is resulting in a full truck going to St. Joe's today for Easter Sunday with 200 meals. Well, when asked if we should tag their dealerships, they said, no need. Just, you know, serve the meals. It goes under our names. And what the best part about this is Anthony's sister is a nurse at St. Joe's. Unfortunately, his wife's pregnant. They can't be around one another like they normally would as a family on Easter Sunday. So this was really his gift to his sister, which I think is just incredible.
Right, so you mentioned a truckload of meals came to Morristown. Is that about Morristown Memorial Hospital?
Yes.
Right, because that's one of the really important things about Feed the Front Lines is you're feeding these incredibly devoted, passionate heroes meals. And I think we all probably realize now it's a tremendous idea because we kind of took it for granted. But then you think about it and say, well, wait a minute, these people have to eat. I mean, they're, you know, in the middle of a war, a battle. I mean, I don't know how else to describe it. And that's incredible to have a truckload of meals to these heroes is an incredible thing to pull off. And, how did that feel when you started to see the results, to help out?
Oh, incredible. And when you're speaking with, the coordinators at the hospitals and you hear how appreciative they are and they just start talking about what's going on, it's even that much more incredible because, you know, there is definitely a need there. And again, this was something I didn't know. Did it have legs? Like, is this a need? Was it silly in the beginning? But there's definitely a need there, and it feels great to be able to bring these hot meals. And we've served incredible meals through Encore. I mean, we've brought salmon, scallops, grilled chicken. So we're doing all hot meals because we felt like they're getting a lot of sandwiches and probably pizza and all that great stuff, which we all love. But I thought, you know, we wanted to just let them know in some way, shape, or form that we were thinking of them and thinking of all that they're going through. And I thought, well, a nice, hot, cooked meal is a way of doing that.
No question about it. Listen, Sean, we're going to take a short break and be right back in 30 seconds to continue this really beautiful discussion about feeding the front lines.
The Todd Leonard Show is sponsored by the Leonard Foundation, whose mission is to support the children and families who are battling pediatric cancer and those in need of food and assistance, women's shelters, and other important social services in the community. They also proudly support those fighting pancreatic cancer. They feel it's vitally important to help those in need in our amazing community when they need us the most. Please join them in extending a helping hand and go to leonardcharity.org and donate now. Together, we can touch many lives.
Thank you, everybody, for coming back. We're having really an important conversation with Shannon Dietz, a really devoted person in Morris County who was really her brainchild recently, which is Feed the Frontline New Jersey, which I think we all kind of have to join together and say, God bless these incredible healthcare workers. Every day, every moment, they're really doing their very best to save lives and to help all those really in need. And it's the least we can do as a community is to lift up and lift them up. Because I think in the process, we're also lifting ourselves up. So, Shannon, you know, I was thinking about what you've been able to do in, you know, a few weeks here, and really touches everyone's heart because everybody's like, what can we do to help the healthcare workers and the folks out there on the front lines? Did you think about perhaps your background, how it's serving you so well and the different things you've done over the years and how you're able to pull this off?
Sure. I mean, it definitely feeds into it. And I think, you know, when it comes to any person, their experiences, their background, what they're able to do, where their interests lie, that all feeds into one another, certainly.
Right. You also said, Shannon, which I think is really important, about the quality of the automotive industry, because Lord knows pretty much the auto industry's taken it on the chin. And you mentioned Bergen County, who sadly has the most cases, the most loss of life in our great state. And you're telling me about these really beautiful people stepping up in the auto industry and just want to help out. And I think that speaks volumes to their character and the kind of people that you have as clients and friends to be willing to do that, because the auto industry, sadly, once again, is pretty much shuttered in place. There's really nobody buying the cars right now. They're worried about saving their lives, and they certainly don't want to spread the disease. In terms of what you're doing and the feedback you're getting from the administrations, you talked about Morristown Memorial, you talked about St. Joe's. Are there other hospitals that you could point to where, you know, Feed the Frontline New Jersey, this incredibly important charitable endeavor, some of the other local hospitals you've been touching and the feedback you're getting?
Sure. So today we're actually providing meals across 7 hospitals. And when you look at the statistics by county, these are some of our hardest hit counties where these hospitals are located. So it's Morristown Hospital. We're covering 3 in Bergen, which is Hackensack, Holy Name, and Valley. We're in Essex County at Mountainside and St. Barnabas and Livingston, and then also covering Passaic County with St. Joe's.
Right, so you're really covering some of the major hospitals in the area, and I think that's truly a blessing for you and everybody that's been able to be involved in this important, you know, basically to say thank you. I mean, what else can we do but thank you? Like, I don't have a background in terms of being a doctor or nurse or being in the hospital setting, but we all understand the commitment these folks are making pretty much every second of their lives while they're in the hospital setting, even when they go home. Because Lord knows they don't know if they have the virus. It's a very insidious disease. In terms of, you mentioned your partners on this important thing, Lisa Epstein, Karen Epstein, I mean yourself. You're talking about Chef Mark, Avantcore Catering, and some of your important automobile clientele. What's the teamwork like to pull these really beautiful people together and to feed the front line? What is that like to have that teamwork?
Oh, it's incredible. It's a great feeling because it makes everyone happy to do something during this time of need. And just back to the auto industry for a moment, one of the reasons that I really gravitate towards the auto industry, not only am I a car girl by heart, but the auto industry has this stigma, I always found, for some reason, and I don't get it, because they're some of the greatest people that I've personally worked with, and when all this was unfolding, you know, you would see on the news how GM stepped up and Ford, and they converted their plants to produce ventilators and what have you. And I said, of course, the auto industry stepped up. Of course it's them. And then you see on a local level, and don't get me wrong, we've had great people, great local businesses outside of auto. We have Nature's Earthly Choice, which is an international food manufacturer. You'll see their products everywhere in Whole Foods, King's, what have you. They stepped up to provide product and a monetary donation. But, you know, these automotive guys, to your point earlier, their dealerships are shut down. They're losing a ton of money just like everyone. And the path, to be honest with you, isn't real clear yet in terms of how these dealerships are going to come back and recoup these revenues that are lost. And so, yet you're getting guys like the BMW Ramsey and, you know, All American Ford and all those guys, Gulf Motorsports, they're stepping up and they know there's a need here, and we've got to take care of these healthcare providers because we're counting on them to take care of all of us, our family members, our friends, and to save lives. And, you know, regardless of what industry or where you stand today, I think that's, we can say that's our overarching goal at this point is just to save lives, and that's what we're all fighting for. That's our commonality. So I think that's the approach when these guys step up to help an initiative like this. It's just about saving lives.
You know something, Shannon? I think you really touched on it. It's all really about saving lives and thanking the healthcare workers, the doctors, the nurses, the hospital staff. I mean, I can't say this enough, but they're really true heroes. I can't think of, at least in my lifetime, a disease where, you know, these folks that are giving this really, really vitally important medical care, they're literally risking their lives. I mean, I've never seen this before. I know there was the horrible scourge of AIDS back, you know, many, many years ago, but the healthcare providers really weren't going to lose their lives by treating folks with HIV and AIDS. But these folks that are, you know, treating the COVID-19 folks right now, they're literally risking their lives, and they come home to their families, and I'm sure like all other families, like my family, everybody's nervous. Who did you come in contact with? What are you doing? I mean, these are people literally in the rooms providing life saving medical measures, and their families as well. We can't lose sight of that. The families also are making an incredible commitment. And one of the things that's really moving is if you watch on the news or the social media, the nurses and the doctors, it's in their DNA. They just keep on coming back.
Yeah.
But that's the kind of people that you're feeding right now, and I think the public needs to know that. This is the time to step up. For those folks listening that are really getting inspired by what you're doing and your incredibly important organization, how do they reach you again, Shannon?
So through my Facebook, there's a link in my bio for the GoFundMe page. So you can either go to my Facebook, Shannon Steitz, S-T-E-I-T-Z for easy access, or go directly to GoFundMe, and it's Feed the Frontline NJ with a green heart for the state of New Jersey.
Right. So now that you're really making such a huge commitment, putting your blood, sweat, tears into this thing with your colleagues, who are really incredible people as well, I realize the teamwork is essential in this. How are you feeling, and, you know, how is it, you know, kind of enriching your lives, your family, your incredible colleagues on this?
It's been great. I mean, anytime we do something like this, I find there's always that feel-good moment about what you're doing, and it's nice for, I have two kids, it's great for them to be a part of it and see. You know, my daughter made a comment the other day. She said something to the effect, and I forget exactly how she worded it, but she said something to the effect that, you're a cool mom. You do a lot of stuff. Okay, I guess. But they really do enjoy being a part of everything, and my daughter in particular helped me design the logo for Feed the Frontline NJ, and she's been printing labels. We have over 1,400 meals going out today for Easter Sunday. So she spent a large part of her evening the other night printing all the labels that specified who was providing the food and who funded the food and what have you, which is nice. So each healthcare worker, when they receive that hot box meal, it's going to say whether it came from a BMW, Ramsey, or Nature's Choice, or what have you. So that's nice. And then my son, he also likes being a part of everything. He gravitates more towards anything with cars and those types of events, but they really enjoy it.
Well, I have to say, you're definitely a cool mom. I mean, I think that would be a really huge understatement, Shannon, what you're doing right now to really help the community out, to really recognize the heroes is more than just cool. You know, every time I have my guests on, not only am I feel so privileged and honored to have wonderful people on, but also I always like to focus on the legacy and how that not only helps the folks that are doing it, but also their family, because it's a bright light for the kids to follow. Because I don't know what else is more important as a parent is to lead the way and to have a giving heart and to show your compassion for the world. Because, you know, look, we all live in a world, we got to pay the bills, we have our own fears and concerns, but also we know we have to be an example for the kids. How old is your daughter?
She's 22.
Oh, okay. And your son?
14. He'll be actually 15 next week.
Oh, okay. And you know, once again, this is an example of where you're really shining the bright light and have them hopefully, you know, realize it's so important to give back and to be part of something, not just worried about yourself. And once again, that's the beauty of the show, is just bringing on just beautiful people, just helping out and lifting up the community. And that's something too, Shannon, you know, when I go on social media, a lot of people are home a lot more than ever, working remotely, but they also have their fears inside and they don't know what's going to happen. Like the auto industry, every industry is turned upside down. We're not sure what's up. I mean, the world we live in, I mean, for example, the supermarket workers, Mary Kay, an incredible engineer at WMTR, I mean, she shares with me, it's scary for all the folks in that industry, the people making the delivery. We had a great guy, Mark, the UPS delivery guy, great guy, handsome, tall guy, really, you know, just a wonderful guy. You know, my wife and I gave him a little thank you, just a little money and a thank you card, and I could see him light up like the 4th of July, because everybody
right.
needs a thank you, you know, the delivery folks and everybody making our lives a little bit easier. In terms of what your current needs are of the organization, Feed the Frontline New Jersey, what are the current needs?
Well, the current needs and focus right now are meals. So we're going to continue to serve these meals. We have a pipeline of funds heading into next week, so it was important to us to step up on Easter Sunday, knowing that a lot of the people who typically contribute to the hospitals would like to take a day off. So we felt, you know, we'll step up, fill that void, and the response from the hospitals has been great. They were definitely surprised. One hospital I called said, oh, that's great, but I don't think you'll get the restaurant or the caterer to get the food out. And I said, no, we have that done. Don't worry. So it was really cute. They didn't even think we could get it done. So that's nice. But beyond that, I don't know. You know, I was having a conversation with a colleague the other day, and we were talking about once this starts to plateau and even decrease, we would step away from the meals when that time permits. But who knows what's around the corner? You know, who knows when that's going to happen? Who knows what the need will be as a repercussion of all this? I'm hearing now that a lot of the healthcare workers need shoes, you know, the Croc-like shoes, and they're $40 a pair. So that seems to be coming up now. And, you know, this endeavor or initiative isn't just serving the hospitals. We're also serving some of the small businesses. So, you know, while Encore Catering, they've been great where they're pumping out meals at this ultra below their cost rate and they're matching meals. We've also worked with other people like Nona's has done the same. Nona's located in Farm Park. We have Kim's Cafe in Wanakue. She's been doing some of the meals, and at least we're able to bring attention to their small businesses and hopefully help get them up and running that much faster as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we had Melissa Spiota also on from Morris Township who talked about all the local residents supporting the restaurants here in, you know, in Morris Town, which is, you know, an incredibly vibrant part of Morris County. But this is a microcosm throughout our great state in terms of the restaurants. I mean, talk about another industry that got clobbered. You know, one minute you got a vibrant business, the next minute you're pretty much ordered, you got to shut it down immediately. And a lot of the restaurants, beyond being panicked, and they have just dedicated employees, they got to pay their bills, cover their mortgages, and, you know, thankfully our great state stepped up, and a lot of people are trying to support these restaurants through, you know, buying their products, deliveries, picking up food, and I think that also shows about the character of the people here is we're very resilient, and we're really very, very supportive in terms of the local businesses. So I think I agree with you 1,000%. We also got to make sure the restaurants have a place to basically continue to work at it since it's an important part of our lives. I mean, we take it for granted. I think that that's critically important as well. In terms of this involvement you see with the restaurants, what's their reaction when you're starting to kind of get some feedback?
It's amazing. You know, like the auto industry, as hard as they've been hit, these people are willing to do this immediately, very few questions asked, which, again, is so incredible. And as a result, you know, I always meet new additional great people. And this time around, I met the owner of Kim's Cafe through a friend of mine who does a lot of work with St. Joe's, and she's a wonderful woman. So she has literally, I met her in the Wegmans parking lot yesterday to give her the stickers. And my other partner, Sandy Cerami, he was there as well. And, you know, fortunately, you're in a parking lot and you're maintaining your social distance. And it was so nice to bring great people together and to meet great people. But at the same time, it would be nice not to be in the Wegmans parking lot doing it.
No, I hear you, but you know something, Shannon? It's a weird feeling, right? You have your buddies, your friends. Some people are into Zoom, FaceTime, whatever. And that's not like being like, you know, the way we normally are, you know, like just with the family and your friends and hanging out and getting a drink with your buddies or whatever it might be. It is the twilight zone. But here's the thing that's kind of beautiful about as challenging as this is, because you always got to see the silver lining. A lot of people are depressed, and hopefully today will bring a little light, especially on Easter Sunday and for those still celebrating Passover a week. Even though we're social distancing, I think we're more together than ever because of the fabric of what we're really talking about is we are pulling together. We are helping each other out, and we're finding out all the incredible people out there. And this is another reason why I love my show. Everybody's caught up on the bad stuff. Let's talk about the good stuff. Despite such tremendous adversity, you're talking about wonderful people you didn't even know existed, and they're out there. And that's the beauty of what we're doing here, right, is to put the spotlight on people that are really out there that are lifting each other up. So, I mean, God bless everybody that's stepping up in such a huge way. I know this seems almost like a telethon right now, but if people want to donate again to, you know, Feed the Frontline New Jersey, can you give us the contact again, please?
Sure. So the Facebook is Shannon Steitz, Steitz. or you can go directly to GoFundMe and do a search for Feed the Frontline NJ.
Right. And once again, I mean, it's just a really beautiful cause that has popped up recently, which really talks about the giving nature of the people. You know, I was so privileged a number of months ago to have Chris and Laura D'Amico on, who sadly lost their very young son in a tragic accident. And they talked about the kindness and the Kindness for Christopher movement. And once again, if you just go on Facebook and you see all the beautiful, kind people out there, and they're doing so many things, I mean, how does it not touch your heart? Am I right, Shannon, when you see the beauty out there? I mean, what's that like?
Absolutely. No, it's a great feeling to surround yourself with people who have the greatest of intentions and share that commonality and, you know, strive to do something good for other people, because it really is contagious. And, I was having a conversation with Sandy, and he said, we've just demonstrated that there's really nothing we can't accomplish if you put a little focus and a little effort into something. Because on that day, you know, we had been reaching out to numerous companies, clients, auto dealerships to step up. And on that day, they just started coming through, because we never gave up. We just kept going at it. And he's right, and you can really apply that to anything, whether it's fundraising or, you know, any personal business endeavor. You just have to stick to it and have consistency and effort.
Right. Now, I know you used the word contagious, so I have to have a little light moment. We never say it's contagious. It's inspiring people, because right now we're all worried about being, you know, in a contagious environment, except when it's the contagion of giving from the heart. That I'm totally in favor of, but I know that
yes,
I know what
you're
you meant
absolutely
by that.
Right. Probably not the best word to choose during these
times. No, I understand, though. But I would be remiss if I didn't highlight that. So before we end this really important, and I love the show today. I mean, I got to thank my other producer, Ellen. Incredible to introduce me to you, since I never had the great pleasure and benefit of meeting you. But you really are doing incredible stuff. Do you have some advice for the listeners? I mean, people want to be involved, whether it's donating now to Feed the Frontline New Jersey or doing something else. What's your advice for the folks that are kind of listening in terms of maybe what they could do?
I would encourage everyone to really have something that they're passionate about in terms of a cause, and step up and support that cause. And it's not always about money. You know, if someone doesn't have extra disposable income to really put into and invest towards a cause, time is just as important, if not more so at times. So, you know, I think it goes a long way in terms of making people feel good, and just what grows out of it. Like you said, every cloud has a silver lining, and anytime you step up to do something like this, there's always good. Just speaking from experience, there's always so much good that comes out of it that you would never expect or anticipate. And that's the best part about it. And you're helping other people who really have a true dire need.
Oh, there's no question. I mean, you got to find a cause you're passionate about. You know, money's one part of it, and certainly money is important right now to donate so that people, you know, we can feed the front lines and certainly show our love and support for those incredible heroes. And there's no doubt about that. I mean, that goes without saying. But also, you know, just folks volunteering their time and being involved in whatever they're into, because everybody has different interests. It could be a mentor. It could be a coach. It could be, you know, checking on a neighbor, making sure they're okay, and that doesn't require anything but just a heart to make sure everybody's okay, because I'm always concerned right now with especially the senior citizen population, making sure they're not going without food or their medicine. So, I mean, there's so many wonderful things people can do to be kind and generous to each other. And I think people like you, Shannon, make me feel once again, there's just incredible people doing great God's work right now. And what's more important on Easter Sunday is to give from the heart and to lift each other up and to bring everybody even closer together despite the social distancing. Shannon, I just want to thank you again, you know, for coming on this morning. I know you had to wake up and you have so many other things going on with Feed the Frontline New Jersey. Is there any other things you want to tell us right now about, you know, what's cooking, what's going on?
No, I think we've covered a lot. I just want to thank you for the time and the opportunity to be on your show. It's been a great experience. And also just, you know, wishing everyone a happy and blessed Easter or Passover.
Well, thank you again, Shannon, and God bless you and everybody who is really stepping up with, you know, it's just an incredible cause. Feed the Frontline New Jersey. I urge everyone who's listening today to visit their site and make a donation and say thank you to the heroes that are really putting it all on the lines for us every day. Before we conclude today's show, I want to once again just say to everyone, we're getting through this. You know, the curve is getting flattened. I never even thought I would mention the word curve, but that's the new vernacular, is flattening the curve. But we can't let our guard down. We still got to listen to what everybody's saying in the healthcare community. Stay home. Social distancing is working. I realize people are losing their minds right now. They don't know what to do. But trust me, we're going to get through this stronger than ever. People like Shannon Stites, people out there that are basically showing the beauty and the humanity that's out there. So remember, I know it's Easter Sunday. Go out there with your kids. Go out there with your spouse. It's a beautiful day today. Take a nice big breath of fresh air because we all need it right now. But we are going to get through this together. Anyone out there that's been giving back and make a difference, you can visit my website, thetoddleonardshow.com. I'd love to have you on the show. It means the world to me to just put the focus where it belongs, on the great giving people. Everybody enjoy Easter Sunday. Enjoy the Passover week. God bless you. I look forward to having you join us again next week. Take care. Bye-bye.